Y el hecho de los separation between the sexes, de la violencia, de la violencia, de la violencia, de la violencia. And it was still limiting, and the Chazal felt that it was creating an inappropriate spirit, and therefore they built a balcony in which the woman stood at the top of the men's kufan, that anybody could see the festivities. And that was then transferred, that idea of separation of the sexes was then transferred to the shul. Now the analysis of what exactly happens in this whole process, as we've seen, is very complicated. The view of Reb Moshe Feinstein is, the Gemara essentially learns the need for separation from the mourning that was done, that we've done in the future for the Mashiach ben Yosef. This will be a political leader of great stature, and as Reb Moshe Feinstein sees it, when a leader of the community passes away, the community is bound to come, is obligated to come to the mourning, and as a result, and the pasuk there says the men were separated, the women were separated, and Reb Moshe Feinstein learns from that the Gemara actually says that that's the source for requiring separation of the sexes in the Beit HaMikdash, and it was necessary to build the mechitza or make changes in the structure of the Beit HaMikdash to enforce the separation. They did so. They built the balcony, even though the structure of the Beit HaMikdash was given by the prophet. Nevertheless, they made a change in the structure because it was imperative that they keep the separate, prevent kalodrosh, levity, and the Beit HaMikdash. Now, exactly what the motivation is for keeping this levity, the separation, there's a whole variety of interpretation. As we saw, the Moshe Feinstein is the most strict position. The Moshe Feinstein is the obligation to maintain the separation of the sexes, where there's an obligation for masses to show up, is biblically. It's biblically. He learns it from the Hespeh, from in the time of this Mashiach ben Yosef. But says Reb Moshe, and he passes, this can be relevant to our discussion today, where it's not obligated for the masses to show up. We saw this last week. Where it's optional for the masses, or it's a private party, then there's no requirement for a mechitza. The mechitza was for the Beit HaMikdash when the masses had come to be rejoiced in front of God. In the shul already had masses coming. But if it's invitation only, then you don't need a mechitza. Others, even mentioned by Reb Moshe Feinstein, well, in the shul it's biblical. Then what's motivation is fear of the Lord. In the shul it's biblical. In the Beit HaMikdash it's biblical because of Yirat HaMakom. In the shul it's only rabbinic. Any place else, just a custom of modesty. The fact that there was in the morning, that wasn't required. It just mentions that was what they called tzniut yitelah. They kept the men and the women separated because it was for the propriety of the occasion. But not that it was required. That's another possibility of interpretation. Another possibility of interpretation, we'll see a little bit today, is only in shul do you require a mechitza. We saw that Rav Gershuni mentioned it. That the takana was for the Beit HaMikdash, or the takana was for the Mikdash Ma'at, which is the shul. Those places of prayer, they require mechitzas. Rav Oak said, not only is it in the shul, but only in the shul in a time of prayer. But if it's a study group that's held in the shul, you don't need it. It's only the combination of being in shul and prayer. But if it's outside the shul, many authorities maintain you need separation. If it's you're davening out in the goyim at tiyul, they're men and women, you don't have to put up a mechitza. You need separation, and that's sufficient. And we have a lot of a variety of approaches. I mean, it makes the analysis very complicated, but it's very clear that the bottom line seems to be that in certainly in the synagogue, in a prayer situation, you must have a mechitza. If you daven, the other the post can say, now, what makes a shul? What makes a makom kavua de tefillah? So some post can say, if you daven three times on a regular basis, that would have relevance to the house of a mourner, or only if it becomes a regular place where you daven, right? That might be the mechitza. It's a little more complicated. How do you define shul? But we've learned a lot, so I can't review all the quotes we made. Look at, so question. Okay, for the beach, please.
Assumption is that they're separate.
Yes, he explicitly says that. Okay. Okay. Now let's look at the Rabbi Bani, who's reviewed the Herzl Hankin, and he writes Nirla Nani Yadati She'en Kait Zecharia Osek Ela Bevatei Knesset Uvatei Medrashot She'esh Bem Kedusha V'lo B'Shar Mekomot Ve'en Inyan Bevatei Chatunot U'Shar Mekomot Shokot. The whole story, the chitza, starts in this case of Zecharia, right? The morning of the Mashiach Ben Yosef. And everybody wants to learn from here. Many of the strict positions want to learn from here that the morning, where did the morning occur? Presumably where? In the graveyard. Or someplace in the Sitkan Center where they mourned them. I mean, that's possible. And yet you see they required separation, and Rav Moshe Feinstein seems to feel that they even needed a pizza. Because the Gemara then transferred that pasuk to the Beit HaMikdash. Others disagree with them, but you need at least separation. So it says, Rabbi Hankin, not so. Where did they mourn him? They mourned him in shul. In the street, you don't need any separation. That's what he said. What? That's just based on what? We'll see in a second. Because he may have a better. We'll see in a second. I'll talk about this in a second. So he says the story about Zecharia, the Hesped, they're musketed in shul. In shul, he says already, one can argue that you needed a mechitza. That's why you needed the mechitza. But in maybe, or something, but you're not outside, but not the gabi batecha, you know, in weddings, you don't need a mechitza. And in other places, other mechomot shul. Okay, so that's his analysis. Let's not go on to this. Let's deal with the question here now. Does one require a mechitza at a wedding? Now, does one require a mechitza at a wedding? The story begins, the analysis begins with the book called the Sefer Chassidim, written by Rabbi Yehuda Chassid. And Rabbi Yehuda Chassid, let's see what he writes in being said. Okay? legal binding literally means cursing. It means jurying the math. But it means to say that there's all sorts of improper words, action, deeds. Osha Nashim Yoshivot Bain Anashim. Or the women are sitting among the men. Shekei Hugim Sham, because there may be sexual distraction. Lo Yitachen Levavet Shasim Chabam Lula. It says, can't make Shasim Chabam Lula. Kol Mitzvah Haba Bavela Al Yada Mutar. Actually, it's a mitzvah. Better not, but the mitzvah should not be done. If it's going to be a mitzvah that comes as Rodo Lavela. Kol Mitzvah Vesameach Chatam Bekala. Like a mitzvah that's a mitzvah Vesameach Chatam Bekala. You got to do it right. And if he knows that without pitzuk there won't be this rejoicing, oh, eno yachol liyod below yirur, or there can't be without sexual distraction, oh, eno yachol liyod nilavot nashim, or to see the women, al yeshem kshem. So the Sefer Chassidim is pretty strong. Now, you have to understand that not, yes, you don't go the way. Know that there's going to be men seeing women, or men know there's going to be sexual distraction, lewd thoughts, lewd licentious actions. Don't go. But it's naturally men to men being mixed with seeing the women. No, according to the Chassidim, Chassidim would be stricter. He says you can't have men and women in the same room, or at least the right against the men can't see the women. Sefer Chassidim is very strict. Now, you understand. He comes from the Hasidim school. So the question is, how halakhic binding is? Now, I should say he was highly respected by the halakhic authorities. And you know this for what? He's in the Hasidic, I think in the 1200. He's in the Mishnah in the Rishon.
In the room, and he said that
And that's why the pastorates, they didn't say Shesimcha Mekona, because the men saw the woman. Ironically, he doesn't say to stop the custom. Right? He didn't say they shouldn't do that. He's just attempting to justify the custom of why they didn't say Shesimcha Mekona. It's because it's based on the view of the Sefer HaSidim. But nowhere does he forbid the action. Now let's look to Gansfried. Gansfried is now in the 1800s, the author of the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. He's Hungarian. And the Hungarian tradition about mixing men and women is very strong. And what is the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch? The men and women should not sit to eat together in the same room. Shim ochlim v'cheder achad enam lim shasimcha b'mono. They can't say shasimcha b'mono. He ain't simcha k'shi yitzar ha-shalim. Because where the evil inclination is, and in dominion, you can't say that God is rejoicing. Okay? So he's already now codified it as a negative ruler. Let's now see source 26. The Levush is in the 1500s. Okay, he's a contemporary student of Rav Moshe Isserles. One of the major pillars of Psalm. And look what the Levush says. That which is mentioned in the Sefer Chassidim in the Bayit Chadash, he says, "Ein yizrei lazeh shav." We don't worry about this business of the men and women together, and therefore you shouldn't say Hashasim Chavolano. They say, even though the men and women are sitting together, they say Shasim Pabrohola. V'efshar mishum she'achshav mugalot ha'nashim ha'vei ba'nashim. Men and women, he said, the women are accustomed to be amongst the men. V'ein kan hiru adela kolka. And there's not such a major problem about sexual distraction. He doesn't want to say there's no yitzhar at all. But he says it's not a major problem anymore because the men are used to the women around. Mishum hergeilan beinenu, because they're used to them amongst us. Vechimet the dashu dashu, since they did it, and nobody, it doesn't bother anybody anymore. He says in the original, maybe in the original mixing, it should have been done, because original mixing was a problem of sexual destruction. But it's already happened. Every man, it's an open society. The men are used to having the women mixed amongst them. So he says, it's not a problem. Do you understand what he's done? He's turned everything on its head. He says the custom of the day was that they sat in the room together. The men already sat in the room together. And they said, just in common room, and they didn't worry about what it says in the Bayit Chadash, and they didn't worry about what it says in the Chassidim. By the way, the Bayit Chadash was actually a little bit younger than the Levush. The contemporaries, the Bayit Chadash is a younger contemporary of Levush. But anyway, Levush is saying that in an open society where men are used to women, we don't have to worry about so much, we don't have to worry about sexual distraction. But it's not a problem. It's not a major problem. What? No, the Bush wasn't the one. The Bush wasn't the one. What? I don't know. Yes.
This is not
one of the
things that's new, and it's taking the line of what's
not. Well, he didn't say that. No, he didn't say that. It's not true. First of all, he could argue that was a pekka in Rabbanim. Second of all, in prayer, we're extra special careful about
the spell. Doesn't feel it.
You're already jumping on the bed. You're saying, let's go with the idea to the end.
Now we'll talk about that.
No. You understand? He really has given us, if we're going to talk about a mixed society and its ramifications, we have to talk about Gemara Sukkah on one side, which requires a mechitza, and the Levush on the other side, which says we have less problems after distraction in our society. Herzl Henkin discusses open society, and he's going to be talking about everything that we learned about the relative smoothness means. And he's going to talk about the Lavush here. And he's about some other things. You'll see how he works it up to explain how at least the modern Orthodox school understands a open society. And then we'll have to see, how the counterbalance of it is, that is how the Hungarian Hasidic school, Haredi school, views an open society. Are we saying that how we act in open society, is that a shakakak, you know, we have no choice, and then we have to function within this no choice? Or do we say that the modern open society creates a new reality? And what the Lavush seems to be saying is that it creates a new reality. That's what he seems to be saying. But we have to be less worried about sexual distraction because men and women are used to mixing. Now, we've raised this point before. Several people have hinted to this. Just remember that it works the other way. The fact that men and women are mixed means there's also greater opportunity. When you had separate societies, the opportunity for licentious thoughts, didn't have that opportunity to be around women. Not being around women, right, creates, on the one hand, creates greater attraction because you're not used to seeing women. On the other hand, it gives less opportunity for licentious behavior. So mixing seems to have, it's a double-edged sword. I mean, I can remember that in all times. But anyway, that's the Lavush. Okay. Let's see now the Moshe Feinstein. The Moshe Feinstein, so this is something you've already learned. This is an abstract from the Tshuva you've already learned. But the Makom Kibbutz LeDivrei HaRashut, Ba'at LeChakirot, Misufkani Im Yeshe Yisur HaZeh, Bo'ven She'e Sheshi. But if there's no problem with one woman being alone amongst men, we're talking about a large group of men and women together. And it's an optional gathering, not a place that you have to be. I don't think you need a mechitzi. It's not about mechitzi. The Yotel Lotesh Ein Lesoze. There's no problem with their mixing. Hare Matzanu Bachir Ad HaPesach She Yochlim Anashim V'Nashim V'Bayit Echad. We know that men and women ate together by the Korban Pesach. V'ayu Shem Kama Mishpachot She Lechol Kol Pesach Kol Pesach Shalom Nimu Olav Yotel Me'asara. We know that every Korban Pesach had a minimum of 10 people eating it. Maybe had 20, 30 people eating it. So he says, how is that possible? Imagine had extended families or several families eating together. And they all had to eat together. And if they put a mechitza between the two groups, then divide them into two areas, into two groups. You're not allowed to do that. Two groups are not allowed to eat for the same Korban Pesach. So by definition, they all ate together. גם למדו במשנה שאין עושים חבורות נשים ועבדים יחד ומפרש רבה משום תפלות משהו שנשים עם אנשים ישראל ומותר. You're not to do it together. Now, let me make it work for the Moshe Feinstein, none of his tshuvot hits the question we should all be asking ourselves. When he said you don't need a mechitza, does that mean you need separation? I mean, sure they sat in the same room, but the woman ate this table, the men ate that table. What does it mean? They can eat all mixed together. I tell you that Moshe Feinstein made it all mixed together. You can have men and women sitting together at the same table. But he doesn't need a mechitza, he can sit together at the table. You want to have women, so no one, you want to separate them. How do I know that? From anecdotal information. We're going to spend the rest of a good deal of this year reading anecdotes. Testimonies about people who had weddings, where are weddings, did this, what did the Gedolim do with the weddings? Or the kids' weddings? That's what we're going to spend a lot of time doing that. Let's read source number 28. Again, another tribute from Moshe Feinstein. Who bekesha mitztachut l'mechitza b'chatuna, achiyu l'mechitza yesh rak l'davak shepetuach l'rabim, v'chatuna nechshav k'davak prati. The only time you do l'mechitza is in large masses, where people have to be there, and where it's open to the public, if it's by invitation only, you don't need the pizza. Source 29. The low tzomich kibbutz ak b'mikdash l'tumuta. Even there's no requirement that you have to be there, even in the mikdash it was muta. Shemei chaneh hipalalas samuch le'evi ha'koin. Chaneh was sat down next to Eli ha'koin. How do you know that? Because he heard it. He heard that he didn't hear.
He heard that he didn't hear. He had to be close enough to hear that he didn't hear. Okay? So, הוא לפי דמי תרס, אנשים מותרות להיכנס לעזרה גם בלאו דרכת, אם הולך כמו שעניין, אף שנמצאים שם הרבה אנשים, אולי במקום שצריכים להתכנס, כמו למשל, אולי במקום שצריכים להתכנס, כמו שמחת ויש לשורה, וכמו הפסד, לא מושמע להתעבר, you don't need a machine. That's a little bit. Okay, now, let's now pick up the second collection of things. This is, and we're going to start off by what I think is clearly the strict school, represented by a whole series of posters, just to be a name dropper. From Rabbi Yom Zilber, who is the author of the Ozni Guru, but the Chemed and the Shulchan Ezer and the Blitzky and a whole variety of the Lubavitcher Rebbe, a whole bunch of major and almost all the Hasidic Poskim, all who say that the way you have to meet. And they learn it from wherever the large masses of men and women buy from the that they learn by the Sikha Ben Shoiva, you might forget that get keep them separate. A small family affair, you don't have to, but in a large gathering of men and women, you must have a pizza. That's their view. Now, the Benjamin Zilber, I should point out, is of the opinion that the pizza is only a custom. It's only a custom. It's that it was instituted in the Simchat Beit HaShoiva, and by custom, it was transferred to the synagogue, and by custom, it was transferred every place else. Now, that makes life very easy for me. Why? Because all I have to say is, our custom has been for thousands of years, and I have no reason. I don't need any proofs. If the authority is custom, custom is binding in Jewish law, right? As long as it's a custom, it's a custom. And that's what he does. Look what he says. And look at the set. We're going to look at the left-hand column first. In the first page, it says, husband, who and I'm right. The left-hand column. This is two tshuvot. One is Menvav, the other is Menzayin, dealing with Simcha Shibam Ono and a wedding, separate seating in a wedding, and the pizza. Umasha Malak Fodo. A year Ono Fahikot Moshe Feinstein said the what? That you don't need the pizza at the wedding? Ain't the Kokach Pela Lagon Shlit. That's so surprising. What he says, the God Moshe, Shemacha Mitzadachai Machnirlo, since he is extremely strict, Umochiach the Mechitza Bemikdash Gamma Beta Knesset Doraita, and he holds the Mechitza in a shul is biblical. Al Zeko said, Kotel Mr. Pek, Shepachatuna, and he said, that's why he's in doubt whether in a wedding you need a Mechitza. Why? Benjamin Zilber knows in his area the word Mechitza. So how does Moshe Feinstein resolve that he holds that Mechitza is Doraita? You could have asked him all along, what's forcing him to Moshe Feinstein? All of a sudden he said, weddings, you don't need a Mechitza. He said, because it's a private affair. Where do we see anywhere, in any of the sources you might have saw, that a private affair doesn't require a Mechitza? Especially since he holds Mechitza's Doraita. Where did he get it from? The answer is because Rav Moshe Feinstein grew up in Mitzvah. And they never had Mechitza's weddings in Mitzvah. How does he know? No, he knows for generations they didn't have Mitzvah. Despite what it's meant to say in some of the books, he never signed the Mitzvah. So he's got to say, well, the books that mentioned that, they were from. They were from Jews, they put up the pizzas, they were used to that. But it's not Yitzhakadim. A lot of things that we do are not absolutely required. How does he resolve it? So Moshe Feinstein analysis, based on what he saw, and he knew was the custom in Lithuania for hundreds of years, analyzed that the pizzas must be only for synagogues, or where you gotta be, but a wedding is a private affair. That's what forced them to make the distinction.
Weddings
for a wedding. 50 people. On the country, invited the whole town. The whole Sometimes the town affairs, they're small shtetls, and 50, 100 people, they came to the woman, everybody chipped in, it was a town affair. Did you see?
The low as well the Makom Shayzer as Sholet,
ובמקום שמגולד אנשים הרבה בין אנשים, אולי אין יצרה שונאת כל כך.
Let me append to this
an incident which occurred with my soon-to-be Muslim son about to get married in summer 1987. He wanted, as is expected of his generation, set proceeding in a pizza at the wedding. When the parent generation told him that they saw no necessity for it, in Lithuania, in Telge, they didn't have such an arrangement. He strongly rejected that assertion, spotting all sorts of worthy total information. It took strenuous urging to get him to call up Gifter, whose opinion I personally heard years before directly from him, of the irony that has developed as a result of the pizza at a wedding. He told me in my car on the way to a wedding in the Catskills, his estimation of the pizza, that in the original Telge, they didn't have such arrangements. But Gifter was more cheap in Telge. It was a Motzei Shabbos when he called a Gifter at his home and spoke from my study behind closed doors. After 10 to 12 minutes, he emerged from my study sullen, eating a food. I asked him no, he replied in a barely audible overtone. He said that Rabosha holds that a machitza is a din of Beis HaMikdash only. So that outside of a shul, outside of Beis HaMikdash, we don't need a machitza, we don't get there. The irony of the situation is that the Telge Yeshiva is not considered one of the most right-wing institutions in New York, in America. Okay, now, we have here Yitzhak Adlerstein. Yitzhak Adlerstein is a very fascinating fellow. He's a very highly educated individual, looks a lot like Kazir Teshuvah. He is highly unfortunate, a very modern individual, a real computer jockey. And Rabbi Adlerstein writes an awesome issues. He's right of center. He's quite machinish.
Israel is under siege.
we developed ways in which to strengthen the fortress. Sometimes we dig a moat and withdraw from the threat. Sometimes we find ways by public demonstration to reinforce values that need shoring up. Sometimes we do things that we don't really have to halakhically in order to show our contempt for alternative lifestyles. Separate seating and weddings, in my opinion, should be seen in the same way. We may not be required halakhically to have it, but as the world swirls even more vigorously around the opening of a moral sewer, insisting on this public standard and seer proclaims an important message to ourselves and our children. Barrier separation of the sex and the pizza have always been part of our antidote to possibilities of compromised condition. This point will undoubtedly not sit well with certain contributors to male Jewish, but it is a matter that is quite basic to many others of us. It is not a matter I wish to debate publicly. The institution of separate seating is an appropriate way to remind ourselves of the traditional armaments with which we have successfully girded ourselves in the past, emphasizing our sense of and understanding of Kedusha, even beyond the law. That's a very interesting attitude, and I think it has to be respected. I don't say they have to practice it, but I think it has to be respected. But they see this. The community should have to gain. They feel that under certain circumstances, we have to be a little careful. Yes? It doesn't really mean it's not the same but the
fact.
Okay, anyway, Rabbi Yitzchak wrote this article in the Gargol about the pieces of waves in the Torah. Anyway, he writes, this is a piece translation of the Bible. Because that particular dinner on the second, because that particular dinner on the second evening, they make only for relatives, and they all sit in the winter house, and they dine with the groom and several men and women. Therefore, this on the second night, they do not recite Shasimcha b'mono in accordance with the Sefer Chassidim. This is not the case on the Sabbath at the third dinner, which they make a great meal with men and women, men apart and women apart. Nor at the dinner on the Sabbath eve and the Sabbath morning, where the only diners in Krakow are the unmarried young men and women, in which case there are no sinful thoughts. He says, when the unmarried women and unmarried men sit together, these are not considered sinful thoughts.
They have lustful thoughts among single.
According to the Bach, the problem is thinking about somebody else's wife. But think about another woman who you may end up marrying is mitzvah. My mother would love the Bach. That's essentially what Rabbi Breuner was saying. He says, the boys meet the girls, right? The young men have to meet the young ladies. And a wedding is a wonderful opportunity, so you have to mix them together. You separate them, you're defeating the whole purpose.
So why don't you say she has
to sit down and wash it up? No, according to that, they didn't. They didn't have anything. No. No, because you don't have anything. No, Shabbat you do. And first, on Shabbat you do. For the first meal you don't even need it. For the show. Only for milcha, only for shlishi you need it. No, they did say. Okay. Rather, the benediction is omitted only when they dine on the second evening with the women who have relations with their husbands. They're only with the married women, but not with the, in all the cases they said it. All right. Let's continue now. Let me read now a stringent position, testimony in this debate. We're now in 1997. This debate's still going on. Though I am sympathetic for Rabbi Kevin's view on mixing at weddings, the truth is there is a difference between the Shabbos table and wedding, namely the dancing. Many from whom feel uncomfortable dancing in the presence of men, and the argument goes that if men are seated near the women's side of the dance floor, as will happen in mixed seating, the men who don't get up to dance will watch the women dancing. Rav Schechter recommends, that's Rav Schechter from YU, recommends separate seating in our day because of the labyrinthic nature of women's dancing, which is perhaps less mystic than the more tame dancing of yesterday. He's probably right on.
Yes, Moshe
was right. Okay, and that is back. The custom in most Hesder Yeshivot in Jewish. They have mixed seating at the weddings, and when the dancing goes up, they put up a machitza so the men won't look at the women. Okay, this is from Eli Turkel. Eli Turkel is a mathematician, it's Rabbi Turkel. Rabbi Professor Eli Turkel is a professor of mathematics at Tel Aviv University, and he writes, to back up Rabbi Rekhoff's arguments, I checked with another rabbi who was a Muslim of YU from early days. He told me that he was at Rav Moshe Tendler's wedding, which had been seated. Both sets of parents, right, Rav Tendler and Rav Moshe Feinstein, were well-known Rosh Yeshiva. He also told me that he sat in several other weddings in the same team of Rav Moshe, Rav Feinstein, and his Rebbetzin. He also said that both weddings of Rav Soloveitchik's daughters were mixed seating, and he remembered Rav Soloveitchik walking down the aisle with his daughters. I find it hard to believe that these rabbis had mixed seating at their own children's weddings because Yiddishkeit was just beginning. That's another argument, that they were just beginning, they couldn't do it. As several other posters have mentioned, it has been frequent at many weddings, especially at Hesder weddings in Israel, me and my sons, to have a pizza just for the women's dancing, so that they are separate from all the tables, certainly separated from the men's dancing. The Talmud mentions Chazal dancing in front of the bride to increase the joy of the bride. This obviously cannot occur. not exactly right, because very often they bring the bride over to the men's side and then the men dance. Now, this is a continuation of what Eli Tocca writes, but this appears, except myself, actually appears in his response to Eli Clark's article. I checked with some people from Frankfurt and was told that the custom there was to have mixed sitting at the wedding. With the extra proviso, the man sat next to his wife, while his other neighbor was another man with his wife at the far end. Man, woman. Hence, no man sat adjacent to a woman except for his wife. While learning years ago at Yeshiva University, some of the students inquired of Reb Mendel Zaks, son of the Chafetz Chaim, what was the procedure in his wedding. Remember, Reb Mendel Zaks' wedding, his father is who? The Chafetz Chaim, the Shtubura. He replied that while there was mixed seating, each table was occupied by a family. So that thus the mixed seating would only be between close relatives. Thus we see that in practice many different customs are observed. Okay? So essentially if we were to ask whether you need matzahs at weddings, the answer is yes and no. Right? That clearly we see that there are two major traditions. There is a tradition that following the precedent of Simcha Beit HaShoeivah holds that whenever you have masses of men and women together, you must have separate seating.
He said, and it was
leading to a very friendly confrontation. I didn't want to make a scene. The boy Shiva guy is brought out the night. And I started dancing in the night. Which for my son was over to me to give me. At which point my son-in-law runs over to me and says, "Abba, do you want the pizza?" He said, "Sure." So he says, "Stop." 2 minutes later, the pizza disappears. Pizza disappears, and it didn't reappear for the rest of the day. That was the end of the joke. But these are not very easy situations. And it was a situation because we knew, because my daughter, daughter warned me that the woman would feel very comfortable dancing without a mezuzah. We had a separate area, which is only to the side where the woman danced. The men danced on one side and the woman danced a completely different area. There wasn't a problem with the men hanging around as where the women. So there was a totally different area where the girls danced. And that was some problem. I don't like mezuzahs on principle. I mean, I feel that the halakha is very clear. You know, we only say that there's no need for the pizza. I don't want to give a geschmack and my approval to something that they feel is now getting non-pizza. I feel women is to be oppressive. And these kind of things tend to come at somebody's expense. I didn't quote it, but he says, yeah. He says, this is false. That is the same, but not the same people who are mixed with women in the marketplace and the homes and all sorts of affairs and the dinners and stuff like that. Also, get some money, they become drunk. He says, don't require it. Don't see it on me. Anyway, yes.
Most of the
stuff
is
special
people.
Yes.
Most of the
stuff
is mixed with women.
So I told you, look, I quoted you that the lawyer said that that this singles doctor they should mix together. And I quoted you
you don't see it.
What?
I don't
know. My my daughter tells me that at my son's wedding she fixed up 2 couples.
But you doesn't mean they sat together.
No, but they talk, they hang around together. They don't just dance. It turns out there's a lot of mixing going on.
That's not the question. The question is the actual scene.
What?
That's not the question.
Yeah, the scene. If they're not totally, you've never seen the what?
The singing together in
Hester. And it has to have a wedding. That's because the Yeshiva boys want to sit together. The Rosh Hashiva isn't there. There's no pizza. So they're the dancing. They sit together. The Rosh Hashiva don't sit together. The Rosh Hashiva is not. It's not the wedding. The Rosh Hashivas and the most of the Yeshivas are fully aware of what's going on at weddings, and they want it to be done in that they are very good. They want to do something. They want them to meet. It's not. If it's done in the right, it's done in the simple show, it's no worse. They don't, there's a lot of the boys that with the girls, the girls that with the boys. Like it's one.